Translation, even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki! How bhakti yoga can be practiced is explained in this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that anyone who has dedicated his life to the service of the Lord, iha yasya harer dasye, by his activities, his mind and his words, karmana manasagira, may stay in any condition of life, nikilashvapyavastasu, and yet is no longer actually conditioned, but is liberated. Jivan mukta sa uchite. Even though such a devotee is in a material body, he has nothing to do with this body, for he is transcendentally situated. Narayana parasarve na kutaschanya bibhuti. Because a devotee is engaged in transcendental activities, he is not afraid of being materially embodied. Bhagavatam 6:17-28. Illustrating this liberated position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Mama janmani janmani svare bhavatat bhaktir ahaitiki twayi. All I want is your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Shikshastakam 4. Even if a devotee by the supreme will of the Lord takes birth in this material world, he continues his devotional service. When King Bharat made a mistake and in his next life became a deer, his devotional service did not stop. Although some slight chastisement was given to him because of his negligence, Narada Muni says that even if one falls from the platform of devotional service, he is not lost. Whereas non-devotees are lost entirely because they are not engaged in service. Bhagavad Gita 9:14 therefore recommends that one always engage at least in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Satatam kirtayantumam yatantas cha janavrita. Namashyantas cha mam bhaktya nichayukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, the great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. One should not give up the process of devotional service, which is performed in 9 different ways, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnusmaranam, Padasevanam, etc. The most important process is hearing, Shravanam, from the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the spiritual master, the saintly Acharyas, and the Vedic literature. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru Vakya, Chitite, Koriya Aikya. We should not hear the commentaries and explanations of non-devotees, for this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who quotes from the Padma Purana, Avaishnava mukod girnam patam hari katamritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpoch chishtam yata paya. We should strictly follow this injunction and never try to hear from mayavadis, impersonalists, voidists, politicians, or so-called scholars. Strictly avoiding such inauspicious association, we should simply hear from the pure devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends Sri Guru Padashraya. One must seek shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee who can be one's guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises that a guru is one who strictly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Yare Deka Tare Kaha, Krishna Upadesh, Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjalila 7:128. A juggler, a magician, or one who speaks nonsense as an academic career is not a guru. Rather, a guru is one who presents Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions as it is. Shravana is very important. One must hear from the Vaishnav sadhu, guru, and shastra. The word kriyasu, meaning by manual labor or by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he may also become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kuryasu yach tvach charana Charana Dravindayo. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. Omangana Chimanandasya Ganandana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Jena Bhutale Swayamupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunachananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Nice to see everybody again. When I first joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, there was only one service. Really. I mean, everything else was going on, but there was really one service. Prabhupada said, shut down the temple, everybody out. On books. And, you know, I'm the least qualified person to speak about book distribution because I was one of the worst book distributors this movement ever saw. I was okay on the streets, you know. We used to do this sankirtan where, I used to call it stoplight sankirtan. You know, the light turns red and 25 cars stop, and you just run from car to car and say some quick mantra. They throw, yeah, we used to have these buckets with a picture of devotees distributing prasadam to hippies, you know. Prabhupada said once, back in those days, he said, now there is no happiness, only hippiness. So... which was true, you know, and we were all kind of caught up in that mood. But anyway, it's acting independently of the desires of, thanks. That's what happens when you try to be independent, you know, the guru has to come and tighten you up a little bit. We used to have these big plastic buckets with a picture of devotees distributing prasadam. We'd run from car to car, and we'd say, some little mantra like we're helping kids off of drugs, which was true in a way, you know, or we're feeding homeless people, which was also true. And then, you know, they'd throw in a donation, and whatever donation they gave, it didn't matter. We'd give them a book, even if it was a big book. We distributed cases and cases and cases and cases of Back to Godhead magazines on the streetlights. Of course, that was okay until the police came and chased everybody off, you know. But it was, and sometimes the Sankirtan leader would say, okay, Prabhus, what book do you want to distribute today? And we'd have a choice. We'd say Back to Godhead, you know, Raja Vidya, On the Way to Krishna, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Easy Journey went over really big with the hippies. It's easy to understand why. And, you know, that's the Sankirtan that I was actually able to do. And then it changed, and they wanted us to move into the airports and distribute big books in the airports. That's where I just completely crumbled and fell apart. Although you may not realize it, you know, I do have some, you know, karma to be a little bit glib when I talk. I was totally embarrassed about trying to stop somebody in the airport and sell them a Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, because these commuter flights would come in with these businessmen on them, right? And they're in a hurry. You know, out of my way, it's a busy day, I've got things on my mind, you know, and they push you right up against the wall. But some devotees, especially the ladies were great, they're expert now, the ladies. The ladies would they used to pin flowers on people, you know, especially the military personnel, the servicemen. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in America, and right across the river is New Jersey. There's a big military base in New Jersey. And around Christmas time and Easter, all the soldiers would get leave or furlough, whatever you call it, and the airport would be full of them. My godbrother, Niranjan Swami, used to call it the drop, you know. Like in World War II, all the paratroopers would come down in, you know, Belgium or wherever it was, you know. So the airport would be full of soldiers. They'd be everywhere. And devotees would be running just... There was more Sankirtan than you could do. You'd have to run and try and, you know, you'd stop them. And they were really sweet people, you know, very young guys, and, you know, sometimes when Tripurari was there, you know, the king of book distribution, you'd see these servicemen walking away with a stack of about 10 books, you know. And and of course we had opposition when we were there. There was a, these Christian groups would come and try and disturb us out of enviousness. There was one group, they used to call themselves Get Smart, Get Saved. and they had a big button, and there was a man who used to come in, who was the leader of them, some fellow with big long hair, and he had this girlfriend with him, who she looked really, we used to call her the Chandala woman, like the woman that was chasing Indra, you know, with tuberculosis, and she was his assistant. And they used to come up, we'd be trying to distribute a book to somebody, and they would come up and jump right in the middle. Can you imagine how rude is that? They would jump right in the middle with a tape recorder to try and tape record everything they said. I remember one time I went over trying to be the big hero, and I tried to push this man's hand away who was holding the tape recorder, and he whacked me right across the face with the tape recorder. I still remember it. I can still feel it, you know. I said it was Krishna trying to tell me, you know, back off, boy. Don't be Superman. You know, remember, lower than the straw in the street. And, but we made friends with the policeman there. One time we were being harassed by these Christians. And down the end of the concourse, I could see this policeman coming. And he was, you know, we used to give him prasad, and we even gave him some free books and all that. Nice fellow. And he was walking, you know. We could see he was coming right to where we were being harassed by these people. And he never broke stride. He just walked right up, grabbed this fellow who was harassing us by the coat, frog marched him out of the area, down the steps, and locked him up in the airport prison. You know, they have a holding cell there in the airport where if anybody causes any trouble, they can lock them up, you know. there's so many, I'm sure we all have our book distribution stories. We could just go on and on and on. I was in awe, you know, of the Radha Damodar book distribution party, which historically is famous in ISKCON. You know, Tripurari and Vaisheshika. I just saw a video last night on the net of Vaisheshika trying to explain how it's easy to distribute full sets of Prabhupada's books. And they were incredible. It's like they were so empowered. I used to just stand there. You know, it's kind of like, reminds me of, you know, the train systems. You know, a lot of homeless people, homeless men, when the freight train comes through, if it slows down, they'll jump in and get a free ride somewhere. But there's some trains that are so fast that, you know, when they come through, the homeless guys, they just stand there by the track with their hat in their hand and they bow. That's how fast the trains go, and they wouldn't even think of jumping in. So when Tripurari and those devotees would go in the airport to distribute books, some of us, we would just be standing there like, we couldn't believe what we were seeing, you know? He used to, I don't know how, it was like there's some magic. Prabhupada used to call him the incarnation of book distribution. You know, he'd go up to people and say, he'd show them the book, and the man would reach in his pocket to give a donation, and he'd come out, and all these notes would fall on the floor. It was like a fountain. And we're all sitting there, how does he do it, you know? And, but Srila Prabhupada was very pleased by the Sankirtan results, because this is what he wanted. There is so much potency in this book distribution, we can't even imagine what's going on, what's really going on. If we actually knew what was really going on while we distribute books, you know, we'd be completely amazed. For example, when I first joined, the temple was in great financial difficulty. The landlord was threatening to put a padlock on the door because the devotees were behind in the rent. The landlord was going to put a padlock on the door, and if they didn't come up with 600 American dollars, I don't know what that would be in pounds, 300-400 pounds, whatever, by the following end of the week, he's going to throw everybody out in the street, including the deities, big Jagannath deities. And, you know, they said to him, well, look, these are our gods, you know, you can't throw them out in the street. And the landlord didn't want to hear it. He said, I don't care. If you don't pay your rent, everybody out. So the temple president said, okay, there's only one thing we can do. Every day we'll go into city center and distribute books. You know, Prabhupada said that's where the potency is. So we'll go down and distribute books. So for a week, they went down and you know, every day, back to Godheads. Temple president told us a funny story one time. He said when he was down there distributing back to Godheads, this businessman came by, a fellow with a little attaché case all dressed up in a suit and tie. And he approached him to give him a Back to Godhead magazine. And the man said to him, this gives you an idea of the mentality of Kali Yuga. The man said to him, what is this? And he said, oh, this is Hare Krishna and so forth and so on. So the man said to him, you want to know what my philosophy is, kid? What's that, sir? People stink. You know, I mean, like, that's what we were dealing with out there. All kinds of strange, crazy people. So for 1 week, the devotees went out every day distributing Back to Godhead magazines. And by the end of the week, The last day was a Friday. They're out there still trying to distribute back to Godheads, and they still didn't have anywhere near the money they needed. So the temple president was thinking, wow, we're all going to get thrown out on the street. The deities are going to be out on the street, and we have no place to go. What are we going to do? So just before they were getting ready to pack up and leave, they said they saw this very tall man, well over 6 feet tall, with white hair, snow white hair, coming through the crowd. He looked like, he didn't look like he belonged there. He looked like he just appeared from out of nowhere. And he was walking towards the devotees very briskly, you know. And they thought, oh God, this is all we need. Somebody's going to come over and punch us or something, you know. So this man came walking right over to where the devotees were. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a white envelope and he handed it to the temple president. And he said, this is for Krishna. And he walked away, got swallowed up by the crowd, and they never saw him again. And when the temple president opened the envelope, there were six brand new $100 bills, exactly the rent. I'm telling you straight up, book distribution is magic. It's magic. And we have, right? Book distribution key. I feel so silly. Anyway, I was such a terrible book distributor. I was so bad. I just, you know, like I said, in the airport, I used to just stand by the track with my hat in my hand, watching the train go through, you know. I just couldn't, you know. And Trip Arari used to say to me, what's wrong, Raghunath? Get in the fire, get in the fire, you know. I was already cooked. You know? I was completely cooked by not being able to distribute books. Get in the fire. What fire? I'm already ashes, you know. Just the heat coming off their distribution was so intense, you know. And third degree burns of the false ego and all that. But we have to understand where we are and what we're actually doing here. This is a missionary movement, in case we didn't know. And a missionary means one who dedicates himself to a mission, right? Now, Srila Prabhupada was the ultimate missionary and had the ultimate missionary spirit, did he not? Maybe you know the story. My godbrother Bhavananda told us the story in Vrindavan that back in the day, Srila Prabhupada was very, very ill. He was staying in Mumbai. And Bhavananda was there looking after him. And Bhavananda said that Prabhupada was so sick, he couldn't even get out of bed in the morning. He couldn't even stand up. Bhavananda had to pick him up. He had to put him in the bathtub. And he used to bathe him. He used to sit him in the tub and bathe him just like an Abhishek. He used to pour lotus of water over his head. I was thinking that was great mercy for him. Prabhupada arranged that he could worship his spiritual master the way we worship the deity. He used to pour, and then he would dry Prabhupada off. He would dress him. And then he would bring him, sit him down. He would encourage him to eat. You know, because Prabhupada wasn't even eating in those days. That's how sick he was. So that went on for quite some time. And then one day, a telegram came from Mayapur. Now, as you may remember, Bhavananda and Jayaprataka Swami were the main managers in Mayapur for many, many years. So a telegram comes from Mayapur for Bhavananda saying that the temple had just been attacked by dacoits, by thieves and rogues. And some devotees had been physically injured during that attack. Would Bhavananda please come back to Mayapur as soon as possible and sort out the mess? Now, that's not the first time the Mayapur temple was attacked. They've been attacked a couple of times because the local thieves think that, you know, they thought the smaller deities were made out of gold. So they went to grab the smaller deities. What's his name? That sannyasi? Rasananda? I forgot what his name is. But when the thieves come in, they have their little homemade bombs, like homemade hand grenades. And they were throwing them at the devotees. So one of them hit him and took his leg off. And you probably know him. What's his name? Bhakti Raghava Swami lost his leg in one of these attacks by the thieves, by the local dacoits, you know. So Bhavananda reads this telegram and he's thinking, Shishi Radha Gokul Nanda Ki, Shishi Gorni Tai Ki, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. So Bhavananda reads the telegram, the temple's been attacked, devotees have been injured, and they want him to come back and sort out the mess. So Bhavananda's thinking, this is really serious, Prabhupada needs me. Prabhupada can't even get out of bed in the morning. He can't even take a bath. He can't even feed himself. He can't do anything. So Bhavananda showed this telegram to Srila Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada read the telegram, he said to Bhavananda, he said, "There is no doubt that no one has served Guru Pada as nicely as you. No one has served my personal needs as nicely as you. But now I have to decide, should my own personal comfort interrupt the preaching?" That is an instruction for all of us. Acharya means teacher by example. Prabhupada was giving us a mandate. Missionary is one who is prepared to die for the mission. And that's what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada gave his life for ISKCON. He gave his life for this mission. Right? That is missionary. And Prabhupada was the ultimate missionary. We want to be missionary, not mercenary. Mercenary means what? Where's my piece of the action? Where's my percentage? Karma Mishra Bhakti. Something for Krishna, something for me, something for Krishna, something for me. Give and take, give and take, give and take. Give and take has nothing to do with love. That's business. And Prabhupada set the example. And Srila Prabhupada died with his boots on. If you remember, right up until his last days, Srila Prabhupada was still translating. If you watch that film, The Final Lesson, you see Prabhupada in bed, Jaidwaita Swami's there, Pradyumna's there, Harisari's there, and Prabhupada is on his back, still translating, and he's saying, "Everything is moving, acting by the supreme desire of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness." So what are these literatures that we are distributing? Every book, from the smallest to the biggest, is a piece of Srila Prabhupada's heart. It is a piece of prema, because Prabhupada's heart was saturated with prema bhakti. When we're distributing books, we're offering people prema. In the age of Kali, when the hate-torn world is tottering on the brink of oblivion, I can promise you, the highest is being offered to the lowest. And to understand that, we have to understand why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. And that's what our book distribution is really about. Why does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come to this world? He comes for primary reasons and secondary reasons. Krishna wants to taste himself, but he can't do that by himself. He has to combine with Srimati Radhika. He wants to experience what she's experiencing. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the combined form of Sri Sri Vrijendranandan Sri Krishna and Srimati Radhika from Vrajadam, appears in this material world, in this Kali Yuga, in this universe, on this planet Earth, right? In 1422 Shakabda, by the Vedic calendar, once in a day of Brahma, 8 trillion years of earthly calculation. Now's the time to jump on the train, believe me, because there's not going to be another one for a very long time. 8 trillion years of earthly calculation, that's how often Mahaprabhu comes to this world. And why? Secondarily, to answer the call of Sri Advaita Acharya, who called him. Advaita Acharya could see what a mess Kali Yuga was. So he's offering Ganga water to the Ganga, you know, and he calls for Mahaprabhu. He shouted so loud, the sound of his voice pierced through all the coverings of the universe. So Mahaprabhu comes to answer the call of Sri Advaita Acharya, to establish the Yuga Dharma, to preach the glories of chanting the holy name, to bestow Vraj Prem on the Jivas. Wow. That's why Mahaprabhu is called the most magnanimous avatar, who has never given what anyone else has given. Vraj Prem. And to taste the moods of Srimati Radhika. What are the glories of her devotional service? What are the qualities of Krishna only she can appreciate? And what is the happiness she feels when she receives his love? That's what we're distributing when we go out and do books. We are distributing Vraj Leela. We're distributing Vraj Prem. We are giving every human being, every soul, every embodied soul everywhere, an opportunity to associate with the divine couple in their most intimate Leela. Their eightfold daily pastimes. That's what our book distribution is about. Devotees used to tell me that in the early days, but I just didn't get it. I could never really understand it. But somehow by Krishna's grace, I'm beginning to see that, you know, that's what it's really all about. Who is Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee. What does that mean? Mahaprabhu, first of all, what did Mahaprabhu come to give? not Sakiras, not Dashiras. Mahaprabhu came to give Madhuriras. That's Ashtakaliya Leela, the eightfold daily pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Every book, the smallest book to the biggest book, the longest book to the shortest book, every book we distribute is bringing a conditioned soul in contact with that pastime. Srila Prabhupada's heart was saturated with prema. Moreover, what did Srila Prabhupada say? He said, I didn't write these books. Krishna wrote these books. Krishna used Srila Prabhupada. Why? Because the pure devotee has no false ego, not even a shred. Not even a shred. So, Prabhupada used to say, so I am stressing on this point, where is book? Where is book? Where is book? And if we think about it carefully, we can get what Prabhupada used to call some glimpse idea. And glimpse idea why? There's that incident where the devotees were saying to Prabhupada that if it's okay with you, such and such devotee has requested a loan of $160,000 US to build a new residence in Mayapur. And if the devotees come there over the next few years, they can pay for that residence when they pay their rental to reside there. He said, and Prabhupada said, okay, you can do that. And then the devotee said to Prabhupada, he said, but this loan will have to wait because we are getting ready to print the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then I'm sure you saw it on the DVDs. Prabhupada looks at him and says, first of all, book, then loan. Yeah. First of all, book, then loan. And Prabhupada used to say, if you distribute these books, my spiritual master will be pleased, the entire parampara will be pleased, and in the end you will go back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada says here, book distribution is our real business. If we give them, you know, this is another thing that destroyed me for book distribution, really, because we stopped distributing books and started distributing paraphernalia. We started selling all these silly things like, you know, jewelry and records and, you know, I almost got, remember Mangalananda's record, The Change of Heart? We used to distribute that like anything all over the place. We went down south in the United States one time. I think we were at the University of Tennessee or something. And we'd spend the whole day in the malls and all that, distributing these records. And then when we got enough money, we used to go to the university and we'd go to the freshers' dormitories and we'd put a free Back to Godhead under each of their, you know, doors. And if they opened the door and said, what's this? You know, we might go in and try to sell them a record. So we were going, you know, throwing Back to Godhead under this door, that door, the other door. And then we all got separated. I was on the third floor. Another devotee was on the second floor. Another devotee was on the first floor. So I threw Back to Godhead under the door. Door opens, you know, this big student, I guess you'd call him, comes out. It was the room where the wrestling team was staying. And they were all big 19-year-olds, if you know what I mean, big 20-year-olds. And I says, what is this? Oh, this is Hare Krishna. Well, come in, let's talk about it. So I showed him the record, you know, Mangalananda's record. And he says, what's on this record? And I thought, ooh, what are you going to say now, you know? So I showed him the endorsements on the back, you know, by famous people, you know, Stevie Wonder and George Harrison and all that. So they each bought a record. I left, you know. I'm walking down the hallway, and I can hear their testing to see what the music was. You can hear them, and, you know, this is before the days of CDs. They'd put the arm of the record player down, and you could hear, Arjuna dropped his bow, you know, and then, oh, Govinda within my heart. When I got to the end of the hallway, I heard, Krishna! You know, and I thought, whoops, I'm toast. So I started to run, you know, and I looked over my shoulder. They were running after me, too. And I ran down the hallway. I forget about the lift. I wasn't going to wait for the lift. By the time the lift had come, they would have made me a permanent part of the wall, you know. three huge guys. I ran down the steps as fast as I could, all the way to the bottom, and at the bottom there was an open window. Somehow Krishna arranged it. The devotees were just backing the van into that window, you know, and I did a flying leap like Superman out the window into the back of the van, and the van sped off. When I looked over my shoulder, I saw these three huge wrestlers behind me going, "Ah, Krishna!" You know. So, we could go on and on, couldn't we? And so could you. You all have your Sankirtan stories. It's a war, in case you didn't know it. We're at war. What Prabhupada used to say, when somebody becomes a devotee, they declare war on the material energy. Yeah, this is war. And book distribution is the propaganda phase. And in war, there's always going to be casualties. So, but over the years, the devotees became more and more expert by Krishna's grace. And the books are going out, and it's 25 past 8, so I think I'll stop there. If anybody wants to have any question, or you want to share something, share a nice Sankirtan story or whatever. Can't hear you. Which temple for what? Oh, Philadelphia. Yeah, it was Philadelphia. Yeah, Rabindra Sarup. You all know Rabindra Sarup. He was the president. And he was taking the devotees in the downtown every day, hoping that they'd be able to collect $600 and pay off the landlord before he put the padlock on the temple and threw all the devotees and the deities and their paraphernalia right out in the street. And at the last moment, this man appeared with $600 in an envelope. It was Krishna. Krishna's mercy. Krishna tests his devotees, you know. See, we want to climb the ladder from Shraddha to Prem, don't we? Each rung on that ladder has a price tag on it. Doesn't it? If you want to go from Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Nartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhav, and finally Prem, every step requires to pay a price. And I can promise you something. When you feel in your life as a devotee that things are getting so bad and so crazy and nothing makes any sense and you just want the pain to stop, the emotional pain especially I'm talking about, and all you can think of, oh, Krishna, I wish, oh, this is a terrible situation. Lord Chaitanya, save me. Lord Chaitanya, save me. Get me out of this terrible situation. Oh, I'm in suffering to the point where you feel like doing a swan dive off the Vauxhall Bridge down into the Thames. When you come to that point in your devotional service, guess what? You're up for promotion. Promise. It's a promise. When you get to that point where you think you're going to lose your mind completely, you think you hate everybody, everybody hates you, I can't perform devotional service. Why? I've been there. You start thinking to yourself, why didn't I stay at my mother's house? Why did I join this movement? Oh, these people are horrible the way they behave. All they talk about is money and this, that, you know. Politics is going on, people trying to get me in trouble, this, that. This is terrible, you know. The temple manager is always on my case. We used to call it the temple commander back in the day. They changed they got real PC about it, you know, politically correct. They don't call it the temple commander anymore. Call it the temple manager. Give you an idea why. Because, the word commander has a certain, you know, militaristic tone to it, doesn't it, you know? So, back in the day, as you may remember, the hippies used to come, you know, to the temples on a Sunday, and they'd bring their instruments, guitars and bongo drums and this, that, and the other, and they would make music, and they would chant Hare Krishna, but they were not Vedic instruments, you know. And the devotees would allow it just to try to engage them. So one Sunday, all the hippies came in, you know, to our temple with their guitars and their this, that, and the other. And there was one fellow who came in with a big, long, beautiful silver flute. It was gorgeous, and he was good. You know, Ian Anderson would have been proud, if you know who I'm talking about. He was good. And they're up there, and he's playing his flute, and they're playing the bongo drums, and they're playing the guitars, and chanting Hare Krishna. All of a sudden, the temple commander burst through the door into the Brahmachari ashram, and he goes right up to this fellow and he says, "Hey, Prabhu, there's only one flute player around here." You know? So we had to change that word commander to manager because, you know, things were getting kind of crazy. I can tell you honestly, I'm happy I had the opportunity to be part of the book distribution, even though I was so horrible at it. It got to the point where we used to go out in the wintertime. It was really cold. You've done it. You go in the car parks and everything and try to distribute books to people coming out of the malls. And it got so cold, they used to make this special bread for us to keep us warm. So we'd eat all the bread on the way to the Sankirtan spot and then fall asleep in the back of the van for 2 hours. You know, you walk by the van, all you could hear was snoring, you know. There'd be 3 or 4 brahmacharis in there, completely sparko, you know. And, but yeah, those were the days. And you know, I still remember them. But yeah, Krishna consciousness is a... it's a test every step of the way, you know, and you really have to buckle down in order to come up to the next level, you know. We start with Shraddha. That's the first, you know, each of the 8 prayers that Mahaprabhu left behind corresponds to one of the 8 divisions of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So the first Hare Krishna corresponds to Shraddha. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadevagni Nirvapanam, Shreya Karava Chandrika Vitaranam, Vidyavaru Jivanam, Anandam Buddhivardhanam, Pratipatam, Pranamritas Vardhanam, Sarvatma Snapanam, Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan. That includes book distribution. Which does what? Cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death, and enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. What's that nectar we're after? We're after prema. What are we here? What's the Krishna consciousness movement all about? It's all about P-R-E-M. It's about prema. It's about getting prema. That's our only business here. You know? We're missionaries. We're trying to help others, and by helping others, we help ourselves. You know? We're not here to become anything except prema bhaktis. That is our only business. The next Hare Krishna corresponds to Sarasanga. Nam namakari bahudani jasarva shaktis tatrapitani amita smananena kala etadrishi tivakripa bhagavan mamapi durdaiva midri saniha janina anuraga. Almighty Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names, but I am so unfortunate, I have no attraction for them. You know how you get an attraction for the holy name? You gotta suffer. You gotta let Krishna put you in his hand and squeeze all the false ego out of you. You know? Tolerate the pain, you know. It's like these people who join the army. You know, they join the special forces, the special air SAS in England. They put them through this rigorous training, and they know that only about 10 men out of 100 are going to pass the course. You know, so it's a fact. Many are called, but few are chosen, and it's the same with us. You know, it's the same with us. Then comes Krishna. Bhajana Kriya and Artha Nivritti. And in Artha Nivritti, I mean, we feel that one for a long time. Krishna goes into your heart with industrial strength cleanser and a steel wool brush, and he scrubs and scrubs and scrubs and scrubs and scrubs all the nonsense that's been in there for millions and billions of lifetimes. And sometimes it really hurts, doesn't it? Right? You know, liberation is not our goal. The Vaishnavas deride even the conception of liberation. But I'll tell you something, over the years, sometimes feeling good's good enough. Whatever you have to do to like appease your mind, you know. This is where causeless mercy comes in. Sometimes people say, what's causeless mercy? Prabhupada told the devotees on a morning walk, he said, if I say to you, here, take $1,000, and you say to me, why? Well, because I want to give it to you. Why? Because I'm giving it to you. That's causeless mercy. You know what else causeless mercy is? There's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip, is there not? And we experience that daily in our bhakti. You know, we're falling down left, right, and center, and sometimes devotees get involved in things that take them far afield for many years. But what happens? They never forget Krishna, and they always come back. That is causeless mercy. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even if a devotee engages in the most abominable activity, he is considered saintly if he remains on this path. I will bring it back. Who was it Lord Chaitanya had to grab by the hair? What was his name? Huh? Yeah, he got waylaid by the Bhattaharis? There's some gypsies or something. So Lord Chaitanya went after him, grabbed him by the hair, and dragged him back. That's what's happening with us. Of course, you know. I can't have a seeker where I work. If I walk into work with a seeker, I'll be sacked immediately. You know what they would consider it? They would call it an extreme appearance. You know, but you get the idea. I'm not an expert on Shikshastakam, but I just wanted to share some of my microscopic realizations with you. You know, Trinadapi Sunichina Tararapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, should, in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself what? Lower than the straw in the street. How often do we look in the mirror and say, you are lower than the straw in the street? Practically never. But guess what? Srila Prabhupada actually saw himself as lower than the straw in the street. We don't. That would be the greatest offense, wouldn't it? We see Prabhupada for the great, exalted, empowered divinity that he is. But Prabhupada saw himself as nothing. And that's the example being set for us. You know, I'm a great person, I'm this, I'm that. But don't worry, even if we start thinking like that, Krishna has his own built-in system of checks and balances. As soon as we start getting a little too big for our britches, Krishna comes in and, you know, he'll send his representatives to put us back in line. You know, there's so many secrets in this formula. Hari Hari, Nishta. Nishta means what? One who is firmly fixed in the order of the spiritual master. What does that mean? Whatever the guru will say, the disciple will do. Even if he doesn't want to do it, you do it anyway. That's Nishta. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahai tiki twayi. Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I want beautiful women. Nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service birth after birth. What are the big three that gets everybody? Intoxication, sex life, and money. Money's powerful, isn't it? Next time you get a 20-pound note, hold it in your hand and meditate on it. See what it does to you. It's powerful. Why? Because it's Lakshmi herself. That's why it's so powerful. You know, people are intoxicated by money. There are millionaires and billionaires all around the world, but they're not very happy, are they? They have so much difficulty in their lives. Dhanam, Janam, and Sundarim. Pratishta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, beware of Pratishta. What is Pratishta? Pratishta is described as the stool of the pig. What's the stool of the pig? What's Pratishta? Honor, respect, worship, followers, money, power. I'm a great devotee. Srila Prabhupada talks in the Madhulila about Kali Chela. He said, disciples of Kali have infiltrated our society. And his words were, Prabhupada's words were so strong. He says, demons in the disguise of Vaishnavas. It's Madhulila, volume 4. When I read that, I thought, wow, what is going on? You know, what that means is you don't know who's sitting next to you right now. The person sitting next to you right now could be this could be their last life. And they're so humble, they're not manifesting any symptoms. You wouldn't know it. This could be their last life. I'm sure for all of you it is. I'm going to be, you know, sweeping the floor here after you're all gone back to Godhead. But it reminds me of something from back in the day. Wow, sorry. I was vaccinated with a phonograph needle. I've been talking ever since. There was back in the day, way back in the day, as you may remember, everybody was smoking ganja. Right? It was a fad. It was like an accessory. You know, you go to the shop, you buy some clothes, you buy an accessory, a little handbag or whatever it is. So ganja was an accessory. This is like the 60s, 70s. I'm giving my age away now. But anyway. So the police thought they were being really clever. They would disguise themselves as hippies, go to the concerts, hand out free drugs, and anybody who accepted would be arrested. Now that's called entrapment. And today, entrapment is illegal. You can't do that. But in those days, they were getting away with it. So I remember one concert in particular, July the 5th, 1970. Grand Funk Railroad was playing at the Atlanta Pop Festival in Atlanta, Georgia. And they were hot in those days. In those days, they were one of my favorite bands. They were hot. They were good. Famous. So it was an evening concert, and naturally the police turned up in disguise, and they were moving through the crowd. Hey, man, want some free drugs? Yeah, thanks. Okay, you're nicked. You know. So when that became known to the leader of the band, at the interval, he made a, what we might call a public service announcement. He got on the microphone and he said, I feel I have to tell you something, because I know if you were in my place, that you would do it for me. Brothers and sisters, there are people out there who look just like you, or maybe your brother, but they're not. And when they hand you something, don't take it. Don't take it. So now, referring back to Prabhupada's purport in the Madhya Lila about Kali Chela, we can extrapolate from that incident, and I can say, again and again I say unto you, amen, amen, I say unto you, I feel I have to tell you something, because I know if you were in my place that you would do it for me. Brothers and sisters, there are people out there who look just like you, or maybe your brother, but they're not. And when they hand you something, don't take it. Don't take it. There are people over the years who have actually tried to sabotage Prabhupada's book distribution, saying that it was just a huge money-making operation, having no realization whatsoever as to what each book represents, a microcosm of Rajadham, a microcosm of the Astakaliya Lila of Radha and Krishna. That's what these books are. You know, there's the war outside and there's the war inside. There's the war outside our society and there's the war within our society. It's not a secret. Go on the net. You'll see all these websites that are trying to, you know, have a go at ISKCON and other people. Everybody's having a go, you know. This is Maya's way of deflecting our focus. You know, if you look at an arrow has a head, a shaft, and feathers. The head of the arrow must be very sharp for piercing, but the shaft gives it balance, and the feathers give it trajectory. So we've got our outreach preaching, book distribution, school programs, so many things. People come to the temple, we speak to them. You know, people come to the temple, we give them prasad, so many things. We've got our outreach, but also we have support services. And you know what Prabhupada said? Do you remember? He said, the person sweeping the temple floor and the person who goes out on books, they are the same. Krishna doesn't see the size of the service. Krishna sees the size of the bhakti with which the service was performed. That's what Krishna sees. Remember when the spider came or the chipmunk, whatever it was, some discussion on that, kicking the pieces of sand into the ocean, trying to help Lord Ram build the Royal Road of Stones from India to Lanka. And Hanuman came and just, what's he doing? And Lord Ramachandra said, no, he's working to his fullest capacity. So support services are essential. Even in a war, you've got your frontline troops getting shot at, but also you've got medical people, you've got people cooking, you've got, you know, in other words, it's all important. It's all important in the sense that it's vital for the human society, and it's all important in the sense that all of it is important. Every bit of it. So, we're very fortunate to having been given an opportunity to participate in this great movement. And, anyway, after Nishtha comes Ruchi, you get a strong taste. And then when that matures, Asakti. Maharaj Bharat, they say, fell down from the platform of Asakti because he lacked association. He had to become a deer in his next life. In Asakti, the devotee is begging for the symptoms to develop, not because he wants to enjoy the symptoms, but because he knows that the symptoms are symptomatic that prema is coming. You know, three whens. When will my eyes be decorated with tears of love? Why don't I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up? When will the hairs of my body stand on end? When? Three whens. The devotee is begging, when am I going to get prema? You know? The devotee doesn't want to enjoy symptoms. The devotee wants to be in love with Krishna. But the symptoms are warning signs that prema is coming. And then Bhav, Yugayitam Nimeshena, that's Rama Rama. Bhav, Yugayitam Nimeshena, Chakshusha Pravishayitam, Shunyayitam Dagatsavam Govindavita Hename. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Mahaprabhu was manifesting these symptoms before he left this planet. Banging his head up against the wall, scratching his face on the stone wall. That's some pretty serious separation. That's pretty serious love. You know, like in the mundane world, a man and a woman come together, oh, if you don't love me, I'll jump off the bridge. Bye. You know, but Mahaprabhu was manifesting the real deal, symptoms of prema, you know, Mahabhav. And then finally, prema comes, that's the Hari Hari, Aslishiva Paravatam Panashtama Madarshana Marma Hatam Karotuva Yatatatavavadhatu Lampato Mat Prananatastus Eva Naparaha. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything he wants to do with me because he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. Look how Srila Prabhupada suffered trying to get this movement off the ground. What is that? Narayana Parasarve Nakutaschanya Bibhuti Svarga Pavarga Narakeshu Apitul Yarta Darshinaha. To the pure devotee of the Lord, one who is fully surrendered to Lord Narayan, heaven and hell are the same. Where did Krishna put Srila Prabhupada? He put him in New York's Bowery. Surrounded by lunatics. He was even attacked, wasn't he? But Krishna puts his pure devotee in different situations to teach a lesson to the rest of the world. So, I have to stop. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope that we can all get some inspiration to push this Krishna consciousness movement forward as Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada ki! Yeah.